بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 34th session, reading from the Sharh, explanation of العقيدة الواسطية. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, رحمه الله, and the explanation of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, رحمه الله. I hope that everybody received the modified study guide from last week's lecture. Because there are some additional questions that wasn't in the original study guide. So just quickly, before we look at the study guide, I just want to mention that the last chapter of Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyya, Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz made a very brief commentary. And so we decided to read from the commentary first, a little bit more detailed commentary from Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah. And he has divided this chapter into three parts. And the explanation he made in three parts. Last week we intended to read the first two parts, and then this week the third part and the commentary of Sheikh bin Baz. That was the intent. But when it came time for the adhan, we had finished the first part only, and we hadn't even began the second part. So today, inshallah, we're going to read the second part. And then next week, we're going to read the third part in the commentary of Sheikh bin Baz. Alright, so today is going to be the next to the last class. Next week is going to be the last class. The following week, we're going to start a new book. Inshallah, next week, we'll announce the new book. And distribute the new book. Inshallah. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So before we look at the second part of the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, we're going to look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the modified questionnaire study guide for lecture number 33. The first question being, summarize the main topic of this chapter based upon the chapter heading. What is the main topic of this chapter based upon the chapter heading? Naam. Fadl.
Makarim al-akhlaq wa mahasin al-amal.
Tayyib. Makarim al-akhlaq wa mahasin al-amal. Anybody want to add to that anything? Just, yeah? Any of the sifat of Ahl al-Sunnah? Any some additional sifat of Ahl al-Sunnah? Anything else you want to add to that? From the title, there's one more important point that that's mentioned, not by Shaykh al-Islam, but by the commentators. Now, help me, brother. Huh? Hussein. Yeah, I don't say your name enough to remember it. I got to start saying it more often. Hussein. That will help, inshallah. Fadl, Hussein. Now, clarification of those, any characteristics, we're talking about Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, clarification of those characteristics which complete and perfect the Aqeedah. And this book is a book of Aqeedah. And up until now, all that we have been talking about is Aqeedah. Here, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentioned some matters which are from the sifat of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah that distinguish the Ahl al-Sunnah from Ahl bidah. And these characteristics are that which complete and perfect the Aqeedah. Yani a person has correct Aqeedah, but they don't have this, the Aqeedah is not going to be perfect. They have to have these characteristics, which he refers to in two ways, makarim al-akhlaq, yani noble character, and Mahasin al-amal, beautiful, yani good actions and deeds. So a person needs to have good character, and a person has to be doing good deeds. And not just I believe correctly, but what about the actions that are the completion and the perfection of the aqidah? If it is correct, then it also any results. It has fruits that are as as he mentions here in this chapter heading. There are those things which adorn the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Yani the adornments that beautify the Ahl al-Sunnah is good character and good manners and good deeds. The second question, the Mu'allif, the author, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, says that enjoining the good and forbidden, the evil has to be in accordance with what? I mean, in accordance with the Qur'an and Sunnah. That's correct. Anybody want to give us the wording of the Shaykh? Naam, Ahmed.
The ability, and if it will cause more or less
harm. Okay, these are considerations about when we fulfill this obligation of enjoining good and forbidding wrong. And in consideration of several things, and from amongst them is if a person has the ability or the authority and so on. But he says here, the actual wording of the author, when he says here that enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong have to be in accordance with what? Naam? Taib. In accordance with that which is required, necessitated by the Sharia. Tujibuhu al-Sharia. Yani that which is required, that which is necessitated, is made obligatory by the Sharia. Person can't just enjoin the good and forbid the wrong as they will. Rather, the Sharia has given us guidelines. Has given us guidelines. Yani that are, we are required to observe in enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. The third question, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah hold the view that Hajj, Jihad, Jumu'ah, and the Eid prayers should be established with who? Naam, Abdul Wali.
With the rulers, whether they are pious or wicked.
With the rulers, whether they are pious or otherwise. And if they are righteous or not righteous, if they are obedient to Allah, if they are sinful, the one who is the ruler, and he has the right to establish and the people to join the ruler in these congregational yani acts of worship. Like Jumu'ah, the congregational prayers, the Eid prayers, Hajj, Jihad, and such. Question number four. Memorize the hadith. The relationship of the believer with another believer is like what? Is like what? Naam, Amir. It's like a structure. Each member supporting the other. Anything else in that hadith that's mentioned? Naam. Zaki. Interlacing or interlacing the fingers together, yani both hands together, showing their togetherness and their support and strengthening of one another. Naam. Somebody else want to add something? Naam.
I was just going to read it from here. Yashuddu ba'duhu ba'da.
Yani yashuddu ba'duhu ba'da. Yani each member, yani supports and strengthens the other members. Tayyib. Question number five. The Mu'allif says, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah command with patience during what? And gratitude during what? And contentment with what? Any patience with what? During what? I can't hear. I couldn't hear what somebody was saying.
Trials and hardships.
Okay. Al-bala, naam. What else? And gratitude or thankfulness, appreciation at what times?
Times of ease
and prosperity. Yani rakha, when a person is doing well. You don't just enjoy it, but you have to. It's obligatory. Wujub shukr. That a Muslim, when Allah blesses you with good, yani, with ease and prosperity, you have to show gratitude. You have to show gratitude. That's obligatory. It's sinful not to do so. And the last one he said, contentment. Al-ridha with what? Bil-qadha. Bimurri al-qadha. Yani meaning what? Yani those things that Allah has decreed which are bitter, which are distasteful, which a person doesn't like, which a person is not yani happy about. And these three issues here, yani the patience with trials and the gratitude with prosperity and ease and being content, being pleased with yani the things that Allah has decreed which are distasteful, are very, very important aspects in the life of a Muslim. In one's relationship with Allah, in one's implementation of one's deen, is very, very important. Yani patience and gratitude and being content with what Allah has decreed. Yani being content with Allah as our Rabb. And the Rabb is the one who decrees yani what happens in this world and in the next and in any time. Okay, so those are the questions that we covered last week. And then there are some extra questions that we also looked at. They were not in the study guide last week. Is there anybody who didn't see the modified study guide? I just need to know, like, how many people we're communicating with. One? Only? Two? Only? Everybody else saw the modified study guide? Three? Four? Don't be ashamed to say I didn't see it. I need to know. Okay, so that means then that I went home and I modified it and I sent it out to everybody on the mailing list. So either you're not on the mailing list, not in that email list, or you don't check your emails. You just look at your telephone only, WhatsApp, I don't know what else. Huh? But forget about emails. That's old time stuff, right? We are using emails here, I'm sorry to say. And sometimes something important is going to be sent out. Perhaps one day I am sick and I can't well, I'll come even if I'm sick. But perhaps something may happen and prevent me from coming. And then I will say, we're not having class. And that is, inshallah, is not going to ever happen. But Allah only knows, right? It could happen, and then you came. Alhamdulillah, you got to pray in congregation. But you could have prayed in congregation near your house. No need to come all the way over here, especially if you're coming from far away. Somebody's coming from Delaware, from Northeast, from someplace else, I don't know. Please, cooperate with us in this matter, because sometimes it could really be something important. Okay, so this modified study guide has three questions, and the questions are not from the text of the book, they're from the explanation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan. So quickly, we're going to look at them. If anybody knows the answers, alhamdulillah. If not, don't worry, inshallah. But these are points that I want to remind us of, because they're really important points. So the first question from the extra questions, from the sharh, the explanation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhullah, number one, sabr entails habs, yani restraint of the nafs from despair. And habs of what? Other two things. Yani restraining what other two things besides the nafs? Restraining the... What else is a part of yani sabr? Restraining the nafs and restraining the tongue. Yani that's like ma'ruf. We don't have to read the sha'ah to know that. Restraining the tongue. Yani restraining the tongue from yani saying things, expressing things, yani expressing displeasure with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third one is habs, yani restraining what? Okay, your hands, you want to say what? The nafs is first, restraining the nafs. Restraining the lisan and restraining the... He said hands, yani the limbs. Yani the actions of the body. Yani from what the people used to do in Jahiliyyah, slapping the cheeks and tearing the clothing and stuff like that. Or whatever is the equal to that, that shows displeasure with what Allah has decreed. All of that is prohibited. And even the old time stuff that people used to do, maybe people are not doing that, I don't know. I haven't seen it, but... And maybe in some cultures, people are doing those things. But if not, whatever people are doing that expresses displeasure with what Allah has decreed, this is prohibited. Question number two, how is shukr, gratitude, expressed to the one who has given you the blessing or the favor? How is it expressed? Naam, Muhammad.
Use what Allah blessed you with for what pleases Allah.
For what pleases Allah. Yani using the ni'mah, the favor, the bounty, the blessing of Allah, using what He has blessed you with in obedience to Allah. Yani to seek the pleasure of Allah. Yani using it in a way that's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third question, give some examples of what is intended by mur al-qadha. Yani disliked things that Allah has decreed. What are some examples that the Shaykh mentioned? I mean, we can make up our own examples, but I want to know what the Shaykh mentioned. Then we can give our own if we like, no problem. What did he say? He said, what are some of the things that are displeasing that Allah has decreed? Like, for example, if somebody wasn't here last week, they're excused. But everybody who was here last week, you got to give me at least one. One example. Okay, make up your own. What are some of the things that Allah decrees that we're displeased with? Hussein. Death? Naam, what else?
Like war.
Like war, okay, yeah.
Poverty.
Naam. Sickness. The Shaykh mentioned sickness. Now, what else? Now,
Things that come from the hands of the people.
Harm from the people, he mentioned. He mentioned sickness, he mentioned poverty, he mentioned the harms that come from the people, and he also mentioned regular things like,
Trials.
And he mentioned cold, any extreme cold, heat, and any things that cause pain to the human being. These are things that Allah decreed. And a person doesn't experience pain, like this thumb today, just not long ago, I couldn't hardly make wudu. But thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He brought one of His humble servants who was able to effectively pull it out, mashallah. I mean, we have to give you credit, brother. I wouldn't have trusted a doctor to do that, man. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. These are things that any of the human being does not like. But it's what Allah has decreed. And Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith, doesn't decree any decree for the believer, except that it's good for him. Except that it's good for you. So a person has to keep that in the forefront of their mind, that if Allah decreed, if it happened, that means Allah decreed it. And if Allah decreed it, it's good for you. And this will help you to be patient, rather maybe to be pleased with, or even to be thankful for the thing that Allah decreed which you dislike. The calamity, the disaster, the loss of wealth or health or loved ones or whatever it might be. It will help you to at least be patient with it. And better than that, perhaps you will be pleased with what Allah has decreed. or maybe even thankful for it. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, how can a person be thankful for a calamity that befell them? If they realize that due to this calamity, if they are patient, then Allah expiates their sins. And Allah elevates their station. And Allah multiplies their hasanat. Then a person could be thankful. If a person believes that. If a person believes that. Now. These are some of the points that we discussed last week. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at the second part of the three parts of the explanation of the last chapter from Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, the explanation of Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, and he divided this last section containing, I think we said 6, 12, 13, 16 points. Yani, in the first of those three parts, he mentioned six matters that's from the sifat of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that distinguish them from the Ahl Bidah. And in the second section, he mentioned seven matters. And in the third, he mentioned three. They could be numbered as six, we're going to limit them to three. Because some of them are very similar to one another. So tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at the seven points that he mentioned in the second part of his explanation of the final chapter of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, وَيَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَمَحَاسِنِ الْأَعْمَالِ يعني that the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah call the people to noble character and good deeds. وَيَعْتَقِدُونَ مَعْنَ قَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَكْمَلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. And they also believe, it's their aqidah. They believe in the meaning of the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, the most perfect of the believers, yani, in iman, the most perfect of them in terms of iman, are those who have the best character. And he said, وَيَنْدُبُونَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَصِلَ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ وَتُعْثِيَ مَنْ حَرَمَكَ وَتُعْفِيَ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ. And also they consider it to be commendable, yani to be praiseworthy, that a person joins, reconnects those who have cut him off and give to those who have deprived him and pardon those who have, yani, done wrong to him. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, from the characteristics of Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah, and يَأْمُرُونَ بِبِرُّ وَالِدَيْنِ وَسِلَةِ الْأَرْحَامِ وَحُسْنُ الْجِوَاءِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ لِلْيَتَامِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَالرِّفْقِ بِالْمَمْلُوكِ. We're going to come back to each one of these points with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan. We're just trying to go through it quickly, the general statement of what Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says here, in reference to our relations with other people, whether it is parents, whether it is blood relatives, whether it is neighbors, all of these are people that we have relations with, different types of relations. People who are in need, like orphans or poor or wayfarers and so on. He says, being, yani, doing good by those people. Yani, we are commanded to do good by those people. And he said, even, yani, to be gentle with the slaves. Then he says, وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنَ الْفَقْرِ وَالْخُيَلَىٰ وَالْبَغِي وَالْإِسْتِفَالَةِ عَلَى الْخَلْقِ بِحَقٍ أَوْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. That the Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah, yani, prohibit, yani, these characteristics of pride and arrogance and transgressing and considering oneself to be above the other people in one's manner and dealing and speaking to other people, whether a person thinks they have a right to do so or not. And then he says, وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِمَعَالِيَ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنْ سَفْسَافِهَا. That they command, yani, the people to have lofty, high, noble character, and they prohibit them from the opposite of it, lowly character, and characteristics, and qualities, and actions. And finally he says, the seventh point of this second part of the final chapter, وَكُلُّ مَا يَقُولُونَهُ وَيَفْعَلُونَهُ مِنْ هَذَا وَغَيْرِهِ فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِيهِ مُتَّبِعُونَ لِلْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. And the Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah, everything that they say, and everything that they do, everything, yani whether it's considered to be worship or other than worship, everything that they say, and everything that they do, from what has been mentioned here and other than that, that hasn't been mentioned here, فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِيهِ مُتَّبِعُونَ لِلْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. Then they are, yani, in whatever they say and do, following, yani ittiba, following the book and the sunnah, in whatever they say and whatever they do. And again, it's important that the words that he used here, وَكُلُّ مَا يَقُولُونَهُ, everything. So that means it's not just ibadat, but everything that they say and everything that they do, they, in it, they are following the kitab and the sunnah. And Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, and he has a very beautiful comment on this last statement from this second part, that inshallah if we have time we're going to try to read. I think it's really extremely beneficial. I'm going to try to watch the time to make sure that we get to it. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. As far as the explanation, brief explanation, a little bit more detailed than what we are going to read when we read the final commentary of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. He says, يَحْتَمُّ, we're on page 218, I don't know where we are in English. Allahu musta'an. I didn't even check the book. If anybody could see where we are, where he starts to talk about calling to, inviting to makarim al-akhlaq. Now, 212. So, on page 1, in English, page 212, page 218 of the Arabic explanation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, he says, يَحْتَمُّ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ بِالْأَخْلَاقِ. This is very, really very important. The Ahl al-Sunnah, يَحْتَمُّ, meaning they consider it to be something of importance. They give care to al-akhlaq, character. So if we see people calling to tawheed and warning against shirk and enjoining the people to follow the sunnah and they don't give importance to akhlaq, there's something wrong with that. Pay attention. They're calling to tawheed. They're warning against shirk. They're telling the people it's important to follow the sunnah. But they're not given importance to character. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, it's not my opinion, personally, I'm just reading what he said, يَحْتَمُّ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ بِالْأَخْلَاقِ. They give care to akhlaq. They think it is something, they consider it something of importance. Whoever says it's not important, something wrong with that. فَيَتَحَلَّوْنَ بِالْأَخْلَاقِ الْفَاضِلَةِ. Therefore, they adorn themselves with noble character, with virtuous character. Because it's important, so they observe the good qualities and characteristics that we find in Islam, in the Quran and in the Sunnah. Because they consider it important, they act upon it. They observe it. They are characterized with noble, virtuous character. And they don't stop there. وَيُرَقِّبُونَ فِيهَا غَيْرُهُمْ. And they also encourage other people to take on these beautiful characteristics of good character. They also encourage other people. They don't limit it to themselves. And as we said over and over and over again, being salih is beautiful and being muslih is better. The salih is the person who is righteous in themselves, and the muslih is the person who doesn't limit their righteousness to themselves, but they also try to rectify and reform other people so that they can be like that. And that's the example of our Prophet ﷺ. He didn't just stay in a cave and worship Allah by himself, but he came out and he called the people to that which was any good. Then the Shaykh says, from the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, وَيَدْعُونَ إِلَى مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَمَحَاسِنِ الْأَعْمَالِ. So they call and they invite the people to noble, virtuous character. أي أحسنها. They call the people to the best of what is character, the best of what can be considered character. He says, "Wal akhlaq, akhlaq." The word akhlaq is the plural of khuluq, and wahuwa asura al baatina, and it is the inner form of the human being. What's inside the human being, not the outward shape that you see. Person is tall or short or whether attractive or not. No, it's what's inside of the human being, the akhlaq, as opposed to al khalq. بفتح الخاء وسكون اللام خلق. He said this is what? As-surah al-zahira. The outward form that you see. Person's outward form that Allah created them upon. But khuluq is the inward aspect of the human being. He said, وَهُوَ الْخُلُقْ هُوَ الدِّينِ وَالسَّجِيَّةُ وَطَبَعُ. Al-khuluq, it is the religious aspect of the human being. Their religiousness. Their righteousness. And their natural disposition, their innate natural disposition that Allah created them upon. And they also, along with calling to makarim al-akhlaq, they also call to mahasin al-a'mal. He said, mahasin al-a'mal, he said, like al-qarn, generosity, wa shaja'a, bravery or courageousness, sidq, truthfulness, al-amana, trustworthiness. And if they call people to these qualities and characteristics that a Muslim has to give attention to. That's the first point of the second aspect of this final chapter. Then Shaykh Salih Fawzan says, he mentions the next point from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Last week we mentioned 6 points, today we're going to mention 7 points. So this, what we just mentioned was the 7th point, and this is going to be the 8th point. 8th point of 16 points. The 8th point. وَيَعْتَقِدُونَ مَانَ قَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. Their aqidah is in, yani the meaning of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most perfect of the believers in terms of iman is the best of them in character. The Sheikh says, yani ya'taqiduna means yu'minuna. They believe in the meaning of this hadith. Wa ya'manuna bimuqtadahu, and they act upon what is required by it. Ya'taqiduna, it doesn't mean that they say this is what we believe alone and stop, rather than they act upon what is required by it. So this, yani here he's telling us that our aqidah is not just something that you claim to believe in your heart, and we don't know if it's there or not, but it's also acting upon what you claim to believe in. And the aqidah requires you to act upon what you claim you believe in. I hope this is yani clear. This is extremely important. That we don't imagine, as many people have imagined, as long as they claim to believe in that which is correct. And if they read the books of the scholar and they said, this is how I believe. But they don't act upon any of it. That's not acceptable. He said it means that they believe in it. They believe in the meaning of this hadith. And they act upon what is required by it. And this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad and al-Tirmidhi, who said that it's Hasan Sahih. And the Shaykh says, the meaning of Ahsanuhum Khuluqan, it means alyanuhum wa alfafuhum wa ajmaluhum. And it means that the best of them in character means that they are the most easy going in terms of their character, and the most gentle, and the ones who have the most beautiful character. Most beautiful character. Then the Shaykh says in this hadith there are many benefits. From amongst them he said, فَفِي hadith الْحَفْ عَلَى التَّخَلُّقْ بِأَحْسَنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. In this hadith, there's the encouragement for a person to take on these, yani, the best qualities and characteristics, yani, to characterize their self, that this is their character, this ahsan al-akhlaq, the best of character, that we actually characterize ourselves, that we have these characteristics, yani, that we live like this. وَفِيهِ أَنَّ الْعَمَالِ تَدْخُلُ فِي مُسَمَّ الْإِيمَانِ. And also in this hadith is an indication that actions are included in what is called iman. And iman is not just a conviction in the heart. Actions are included in iman. This hadith is a proof of that. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, the most perfect of the believers in terms of iman is those who have the best character. That means that a person's character, their actions and their behavior is a means of the completion and perfection of their iman. Then he says also, he said, وَأَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ يَتَفَاضَلُ. Also in this hadith is an indication that iman varies, that some people surpass and excel others, that people are not on the same levels of iman. The people of iman are not all equal in iman. Rather, even an individual person's iman may vary. It may increase and become strengthened, and it may decrease and become weakened. And iman from the people, from the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, is the belief that iman increases and decreases. And that the people of iman vary in terms of their iman, the strength of their iman or the level of their iman. It's not the same. Then the Shaykh goes on to the next points, which is point 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 tonight. And he says concerning the following points, he says, Ahl Sunnah يَدَعُونَ إِلَى التَّعَامُلْ مَا النَّاسِ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Yani the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah call to, invite people to. And of course, what does it look like for you calling people to something you're not acting upon yourself, right? Invite people to what? To dealing with people, treating people with the best, yani, in the best way possible. بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Treating people in the best way possible. Not just any kind of way, but treating people in the best way. وإلى إيتاء ذوي الحقوق حقوقهم. And also call the people to give in, the people who have rights, giving them their rights. Everybody who has rights, giving them their rights. Parents have rights, children have rights, neighbors have rights. Everybody who has rights, giving them their rights. وَيُحَذِّرُونَ مِنْ أَصْدَادِ تِلْكَ الْأَخْلَاقِ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ وَتَعَدِّي عَلَى النَّاسِ. And they also warn the people against the opposite of these good characteristics, like, yani they warn the people against pride and arrogance and transgressing against the people, yani violating the rights of people. Then he quotes from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, yani going back to the book, he says, and this is point number 9. Yani tonight we had 7, 8, and now 9. Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah, he said, وَيَنْدُبُونَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَصِلَ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ وَتُعْتِيَ مَنْ حَرَمَكَ وَتَعَفُوَ أَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ. Yani that the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah consider it to be mandub, to be something that's commendable, that's praiseworthy. They call to that a person should tasila man qata'aka, yani that you should yani reconnect with, join those who have cut you off. And you don't say they cut me off, later for them. Whatever else people might say, I'll just say later for them. Right? That's not the way of the Ahl Sunnah. And if people cut you off, especially people who have relations and rights, then you try to join back with them. He said that this is by what? By being good to those who have treated you badly. By being good to those who have treated you badly. And to give to those who have deprived you, haramaka, who have yani prohibited you from they didn't give to you. Give to them who didn't give you. He said this means given freely, gifts and presents, being charitable, and the like of that, to the one who has mana dhalika anka, who have prohibited you or deprived you of that. Yani in other words, we don't treat people the way they treat us. We treat people the way that Allah would be pleased with. I'm sure there's some saying in Jahiliyyah that you should treat people the way they treat you.
The way you want to be treated.
But we, yani, believe that we treat people good in spite of how they act. And in accordance with what Allah has legislated. And if there's some people who deserve something else, right? There are punishments prescribed for people who do evil, and those punishments are in place. He said, because doing so is min al-ihsan. And to do so, you need to give to those who deprive you and to connect with those who cut you off. This is from an aspect of ihsan, of excellence, of goodness. A level of goodness, the highest level of goodness. وَتَعَفُوا وَأَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ. And that you pardon, you need those who have wronged you. Hardening the ones who transgressed against you, whether it is in your wealth, or in reference to your blood, or in reference to your honor. لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا يَجْلِبُ الْمَوَدَّةِ وَيَكْسِبُ الْأَجْرُ وَالثَّوَابِ. He said, yani, pardoning those who have transgressed against you, whether it was in reference to your wealth, or your blood, or your honor, and that is because doing so is from those things that bring about yani al-mawadda, mutual love and affection. And which earns a person al-ajr wa thawab. Yani for which a person would be compensated, would be recompensed and rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, yani it's important that yani sometimes we look at, sometimes the expression that the Shaykh uses yani has a point in it that might not be so obvious. And from the things that may not be so obvious here is that the Shaykh, he is telling us that doing these things, which people might not be inclined to do, that there is in it a reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we have to think about doing something for the sake of Allah. Even though I don't like that person. But if it's something that's pleasing to Allah, there's a reward with Allah. And that's more important than you saying, I'm not going to give this person because I don't like them. But I am going to give them because I want the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we live our life trying to always do things to earn the pleasure of Allah, in spite of the people that are ungrateful or unappreciative or undeserving, then we'll have a better relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can't lose. When you do something for the sake of Allah, regardless to the person, if you do it for the sake of Allah, you don't lose. You can't lose. Point 10 deals with the good treatment that we should always keep in the forefront of our mind when dealing with people, whoever they may be. He says, أَهْلِ السُّنُّ الْجُمَاءِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِبِرُّ وَالِدَيْنِ وَسِلَةِ الْأَرْحَامِ وَحُسْنُ الْجِوَارِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ لِلْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَالرِّفْقِ بِالْمَمْلُوكِ. Yani the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah command, enjoin upon the people that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined upon the people. That is, given the people who have rights, giving them their rights. And who has greater rights than parents? He started with birru walidain, ay ta'atuhuma fi ghayri ma'asiyatin wal ihsan ilayhima bil qawli wal amali. Yani in one sentence what he has said here is yani enough. And whoever's parents are still living, this is important that you think about what is being said here. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah enjoin upon the people birru walidain, that is, being obedient to both of them in anything that's not sinful, in everything that's not sinful. Because there's no obedience to any created being and disobedience to the Creator. As the Prophet ﷺ said, obeying them in anything that is not disobedience. And being kind to both of them with speech and action. Speak to them in a good way and act with them in a good way. And a person has to control their tongue sometimes. When you realize that you're talking to your parents, be careful. Be careful. وَسِلَةُ الْأَرْحَامِ. And in keeping the ties of blood relations, he said, أي إحسان إلى الأقربين. And he being good to those who are near to you, meaning blood relatives. He said, سِلَةُ الْأَرْحَامِ. The word arham is the plural of rahim, and it means, yani those who are joined together with you by karaba. Yani those who you have some near blood relation to. وَحُسْنُ الْجِوَارِ, he said, yani it means being good to those who live near you, بِجِوَارِكَ, by exerting yourself with al-ma'ruf and restraining from al-adha. That a person exerts themselves in doing good to their neighbor and they restrain themselves from doing anything harmful to them. And we have a challenge because many of us, our neighbors are all yani kuffar. But even the neighbor that's a kafir has rights. Even the neighbor that's a kafir has rights. Husn al-jiwar. And those who are fortunate and blessed to have Muslim neighbors, Allahu Akbar. Ni'mah from Allah. Husn al-jiwar. Being good to your neighbors. Meaning, doing good by them and restraining yourself from harming them. Wal ihsan ila al-yatama. And ihsan to the orphans. Al-yatama is the plural of yateem. Linguistically, yatim is the person who is alone. And in the Sharia, the yatim, man mata abuhu qabla bulughihim. Yani the yatim, according to the Sharia, is the person, the child whose father died before they reached the age of maturity. Whose father died. Yani a yatim, if a child's mother dies while they're a child, that's not a yatim. Yatim is the father died before the person reached the age of Balug, before they reach the age of maturity. And treating them, he said, yani al-ihsan al-yatama, he said, it is al-ihsan ilayhim huwa bi riayati ahwalihim wa amwalihim wa shafaqa alayhim. Yani that a person gives care and attention to their affairs in general, and specifically to their wealth and property. And that not only that, but that the person is compassionate and kind and merciful to the yatim. والمساكين, he said, الإحسان إلى المساكين, مساكين is the plural of مسكين, وهو المحتاج الذي أسكنته الحاجة والفقر. يعني the مسكين here, the intent of مسكين here means the مسكين and the فقير. Even though there's a difference between the two of them, and the scholars have explained it in different ways, but here what is intended is every one of them, is both of them. Yani the person who is in need to the extent that their need and their poverty has overwhelmed them. And being ihsan to them, it means بالتصدق عليهم والرفق بهم. Yani giving charity to them as well as being gentle and kind with them. The miskeen, in not just throwing a $10 bill at them, but being charitable to them and being gentle and kind with them as well. And here I have to say that we cannot let this be an academic discussion. And we have to look at ourselves and where we stand in reference to what is being said here. And wherever we have fallen short, we got to try to do better. Otherwise, what's the point? What are we learning this for? What are we reading this for? What are we reminding one another about this for if we're not going to act upon it? And I'm sure every one of us can see that we have fallen short somewhere. And we cannot accept it and be content with our condition. Because Allah may take our soul at any time. And the wayfarer, وابن السبيل. And he being good to the wayfarer, he said the wayfarer is what? هو المسافر المنقطع. المنقطع به الذي يعني نفدت نفقته أو ضاعت أو سرقت. يعني the person who was cut off in their journey. And who couldn't complete their journey because their money, their provisions were exhausted. يعني they ran out of money or it was lost or it was stolen. So that person who is cut off in their journey, and he also being kind to them. And he said finally, وَالرِّفْقْ بِالْمَمْلُوكِ, and being gentle and kind and compassionate with the mamluk, the one that is possessed. Yani the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah command the people to be gentle. الرِّفْقْ بِالْمَمْلُوكِ وَهُوَ الرَّفِيقْ هُوَ الرَّقِيقِ, and that means the one who is a slave. وَيَدْخُلُ فِيهِ الْمَمْلُوكُ مِنَ الْبَهَائِمِ, and also included in that are animals that are owned by someone. Yani being gentle with them as well. Not mistreating the animals that you own. And الرفق is the opposite of العنف. Yani gentleness, the opposite of harshness, being easygoing. Point number 11. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, يعني أهل السنة والجماعة ينحون عن الفقر والخيلاء. والبغي والاستطاعة والاستطالة على الخلق بحق أو بغير حق. يعني the أهل السنة والجماعة prohibit these characteristics or qualities. الفقر والخيلاء, يعني pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance. He said that this فقر, it is a person's boasting about their noble manners or boasting about their virtues, whether it is their position of influence in the society or their nasab, their lineage, boasting about this. وَالْخُيَلَى, he said, it is الْكِبْرُ وَالْعُجْبُ. Yani that a person shows pride and being conceited, yani vain, yani thinking of their self as being yani great or something special. وَالْبَغْيِ هُوَ الْعُدْوَانِ عَلَى النَّاسِ, yani transgressing against the people. وَالْإِسْتِطَالَةِ عَلَى الْخَلْقِ تَرَفُّعُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَاحْتِقَارُهُمْ وَالْوَقِيَّةُ فِيهِمْ. Yani الْإِسْتِطَالَةِ عَلَى النَّاسِ, it means that a person shows arrogance to the people and thinks little of the people, looking down on the people, and speaks ill of the people. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, بِحَقٍ أَوْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. Yani whether a person thinks they have a right to do so because they actually have wealth, or because they are learned, or because they have some special, they're from a special family, whether a person thinks they have a right to do so, or even the person who has no right to be proud and arrogant. They don't have anything. They're not from any, you know, noble family. They don't have wealth. They don't have power. They don't have anything. And yet they're walking around proud and arrogantly. Either way, it is prohibited. Either way, it is prohibited. Because if the person actually has something that they are boasting about or proud for, then this is yani prohibited, because it's boasting and pride and arrogance. And if they didn't have anything, then this is transgression. لا يحلو لا هذا ولا هذا. So neither of these are lawful. Here I just want to mention just quickly. 39. I don't want to mention quickly. Allahu musta'an. It's actually time for adhan. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. طيب لا بس. Forget about the extra. We're going to have to stick with this. In any case, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said that the difference between al-faqr wal-khuyala is that al-faqr is in speech. Like a person saying, I am rich, or I am an alim, or I am such and such and so. And khuyala is in actions. And the way a person looks at other people or walks with their head up and so on like this. Point number 12, he said, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, وَيَعْمُرُونَ بِمَعَارِي الْأَخْلَاقِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنْ سَفْسَافِهَا. And they command the people to have high, lofty, noble character. And they prohibit the people from the opposite of that, lowly character. He said it means that they command, Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah command the people to have al-akhlaq al-aliyah, high, lofty character. وهو الأخلاق الحسنة means good character. And they prohibit the people from any lowly character, that is the low character or the despicable character. And safsaf, he said, is yani everything that is despicable and lowly and yani insignificant from everything is used. This is the expression used for it. It is the opposite of al-ma'ali and al-makarim, yani lofty and honorable, noble character. And point number 13, we close with this. The final point from this second explanation of Sheikh Saleh Fawzan from the last chapter, he says, وَكُلُّ مَا يَقُولُونَهُ وَيَفْعَلُونَهُ مِنْ هَذَا وَغَيْرِهِ فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِيهِ مُتَّبِعُونَ لِلْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. So everything that the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah say and do, from what has been mentioned here and other than that, in it they are following, strictly adhering to the book and the sunnah. Strictly adhering to the book and the sunnah. Shaykh in his explanation says, كُلُّ مَا يَقُولُهُ وَيَفْعَلُهُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِهِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنْهُ مِمَّا تَقَدَّمَ ذِكْرُهُ فِي هَذِهِ الرِّسَالَةِ وَمَا لَمْ يُذْكَرْ. Everything that the people of sunnah, everything that he says and everything that he does, everything that they command with and that they prohibit from, of that which has been mentioned in this writing and that which has not been mentioned. فَقَدْ إِسْتَفَادُوا مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّهِمْ وَسُنَّةِ نَبِيِّهِمْ. Then they benefited this from, where did they get it from? They got it from the book of their Rabb and from the sunnah of their Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَمْ يَبْتَدِعُوهُ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. They didn't just make it up from themselves. They didn't innovate it. They didn't invent it from themselves. وَلَمْ يُقَلِّدُوا فِيهِ غَيْرُهُمْ. And they didn't blindly follow somebody else in this. The Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, everything that they say and they do, it's not something that they made up. It's not something that they followed other people in. Rather, they got it from the book and the sunnah. And he closes with the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he talks about the aqidah, the tawheed and the shirk, and the parents, and the relatives and neighbors, and he says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Surah An-Nisa, 36 ayat, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And he starts with what? The main theme of this book, yani the aqidah, the tawheed and the shirk. Worship Allah alone, and do not associate anything as an equal or a partner with him. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And that a person treats their parents well, with goodness and kindness and speech and action. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. And those who have, and he possess qurba, yani relations, near relations, one's relatives, and the orphans, and the poor. وَجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. And the neighbor that is a relative. Yani a person, your neighbor, who is one of your relatives. So they have two rights. The rights of neighbor and the right of, yani being a relative. والجار الجنوب, and the neighbor who is not a relative, who is a stranger. وصاحب بالجم, and the person who is your companion by your side. وابن السبيل, and the person who is a wayfarer, who is cut off in their journey. وما ملكت أيمانكم, and that which your right hands possess, يعني your slaves. إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا. Allah does not love those who are proud and boastful. The Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah prohibit any pride and arrogance and boastfulness. Well, ahadith fi hadha kathira, minha ma dhakarahu al-shaykh, and the hadith concerning this topic are many. From amongst them is that which was mentioned by the Shaykh rahimahullah, yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, next week we're going to take the third part, and we're going to take the commentary of Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz. And inshallah, I'm going to mention the commentary of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen next week. Yani concerning the last point, that everything the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah say and do is from the book and the Sunnah. And it's really an important point, but I don't want to keep going since the time has expired. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone. And that He recognize, reward our good deeds, and pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us al-thabat ala sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a quick and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light, and to make them spacious, and that He protect them from the hellfire and admit them into the paradise. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims wherever they may be, especially in Palestine and in Sudan and in Syria and in the Kafir countries where Muslims are being oppressed and tortured and murdered. We ask Allah to grant them relief, to protect them with the protection from Himself, from before them and behind them, and from the right and from the left, and above them and below them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi, that He grant them relief, and that He protect them, preserve them, and that He reward them and compensate them for the harms that they are being subjected to. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.